Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. So glad to have you with me on this Wednesday show. It's going to be a fun show. We'll get right to the lineup because we have a lot of things to cover, including some great guests joining us in this hour. Let's look at the guest lineup powered by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us, well, not joining us in segment one, but we've got the news and headlines of the day in our Hoosier Headlines segment. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. Jeff Goodman ranks IU in his top 20. Andy Katz had a podcast yesterday where he interviewed Jawan Morgan, who had a pretty interesting statement. We got some recruiting nuggets to cover and more in our headline segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two, that's when we'll get into guests. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, he will join the program. We'll dive into some heavy IU basketball conversation today. Might also talk a little football with the Michigan State game on the horizon on Saturday evening. And a great guest coming up later in the program, Brian Evans, the former IU basketball standout who went on to get drafted by the Orlando Magic and have a great professional career, not just in the NBA, but he got the opportunity to go overseas and play for a number of years as well. Brian will join us to talk about it. And I actually interviewed him yesterday, so it's a great interview. He talked about what it means to be part of the IU basketball family and the community, even today where he lives in Carmel, Indiana. His time at Indiana, we covered some of that. We talked about his professional stops both in the NBA and overseas. I asked him about Bob Knight. When's the last time he heard from Bob Knight or had a conversation with Bob Knight? He kind of had a funny quick story about that. He actually heard from him this past Saturday. He got a phone call from Coach Knight, so he'll tell you about that. And I got his thoughts on Archie Miller and where the program is at and where it appears to be headed. He had some interesting comments on that as well. So very well spoken, as you would expect. Obviously one of the great Hoosiers, a great representative even to this day of the program. And the reason that we talked with him, and this is what we concluded the interview with, was he has been added or been named, I should say, as a part of the 2018 class of the Indiana University Athletics Hall of Fame. He's going to be inducted into that later this year, I think sometime in November. With that, he also was nominated for the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. No guarantee that he gets in on this first go-around. He obviously has a basketball resume that he belongs in the state's Hall of Fame, and probably a matter of time until that happens, whether it's in the first go-around or beyond. But very interesting interview. One of my favorite IU players, to think back to those days of childhood, watching the Hoosiers. And, of course, he's an Indiana boy from Terre Haute South, played a lot of great high school basketball in the state, had a lot of rivalry games. He mentioned that, some of the good games against Bedford North Lawrence and Damon Bailey over the years. So a lot of things covered. I think you'll enjoy it. Brian Evans, an interview I recorded yesterday. We'll have that for you later today on the program. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's how we begin the show every day on the program. And headline number one today, Jeff Goodman has Indiana at number 20 in his preseason poll for Stadium. Jeff, of course, used to work for ESPN. He now works for an online outfit named Stadium. He wrote, Archie Miller has an all-league player returning with Morgan and one coming in with Langford. He listed his obvious top returner as Jawan Morgan, his obvious top newcomer as Romeo Langford, and his biggest loss of Robert Johnson, who, by the way, signed an NBA contract yesterday. We'll talk about that some here in a minute. So, again, Indiana being slighted, I feel, in some of the preseason rankings for whatever they're worth. But Jeff Goodman, I've always respected his opinion. I think he's got a good placement of Indiana at number 20 in the country headed into the season. Spot on with his couple sentences, I thought, about the Hoosiers as well in the preview. Also, headline number two, this was a really quick spot in a podcast that Andy Katz does for NCAA March Madness. Andy, of course, a former national college basketball figure. He's now writing and covering the game actually for the NCAA itself. But he had on his weekly podcast, he has players on from time to time, and he had Jawan Morgan of Indiana on for a quick bit at the very end of his podcast. I believe it came out yesterday. And here's what Andy Katz said. It was interesting. It's gained a lot of traction on social media. You can actually find the audio, the little clip of it, if you want to hear Jawan with his rebuttal. Andy Katz said to Jawan, "Help me complete this sentence. Indiana will make the NCAA tournament if." Jawan answered quickly, quote, "There is no if, we will," end quote. And I think Indiana fans love to hear the answer. It didn't have a lot to it, not a lot to be said, but very matter of fact that Jawan Morgan feels Indiana will be in the NCAA tournament for the upcoming season. I think obviously everyone would be extremely disappointed, as they are any year Indiana doesn't make the tournament, if the Hoosiers don't get in for this upcoming 2018-19 season. Headline number three, a couple recruiting nuggets to cover. We mentioned this yesterday, no surprise, James Bouknight has committed to Connecticut. He did so yesterday about the time we ended our show. It sure looked like he was tracking that way. He did take three official visits. He did not take an official visit to Indiana. He said after the UConn visit that he was done taking visits. He was nearing his announcement. A lot of people felt like it would be Connecticut. That's what his decision was yesterday. So James Bouknight off the board in the 2019 class. He will go to Connecticut. NewRivals.com, their 150 rankings in the class of 2020 were out yesterday. Of course, that is the junior class of high school basketball for the upcoming season. Anthony Leal of Bloomington South, we talked a lot about him yesterday. He got an offer recently from Iowa. He obviously is a player right in IU's backyard that Archie Miller and the staff, I'm sure, will continue to track and perhaps offer at some point, perhaps in the near future, who knows. But hard to believe at some point he will not receive a scholarship offer from Indiana. As I mentioned yesterday, if he continues his forward progress, given his skills and what he's built into as a player. But he's up 42 spots in the national rankings. And again, I don't put a lot of stock in rankings, but when you see a guy increase, not just in one set of rankings, but in multiple sets of national rankings with guys that you trust out there watching this stuff, that means he's on the rise. He's number 80 now in the country, according to the New Rivals 150 for his class. Also of note, Trey Galloway from Northern Indiana, Culver Academies, Indiana recruiting him. They were at the team camp back in June. He dropped 52 spots. He's at number 133 in the country. Lil and Galloway, in some form or fashion, depending on where you look, are 1-2 and some combination in the 2020 class in both places as far as the state of Indiana goes. Also, I mentioned this yesterday at the very end of the show, but Indiana did make the trek north yesterday to Fort Wayne to watch a exciting sophomore who's starting to garner a lot of high major college interest. His name is Caleb First. We have mentioned him on the program many times before. He's of Blackhawk Christian High School, located in Fort Wayne, and again, the some of the staff there yesterday to watch him in college basketball. Also, I didn't have this down as a headline, but I do want to mention that Robert Johnson is going to sign with the Milwaukee Bucks to a training camp deal. Good for him. Another former Hoosier in the NBA, or at least with an opportunity for the NBA for this upcoming season. Will be interesting to see if Robert can find his way on the Bucks roster for the upcoming season following training camp. Also, final headline, this has nothing to do with Indiana, but I wanted to mention this. Always kind of interesting to watch and see a team or a program on the rise in college basketball. And I think Indiana fits a lot of those factors based on who they return with Juwan Morgan, based on Romeo Langford and some of the other 2018 recruits, based on the graduate transfer, based on just some things from last season that carry over. And also, Archie Miller, I think, has a really good reputation when it comes to the college basketball analyst out there, the guys that write a lot of this preseason content that we talk about each day on the program. But one of the other programs that is on the rise, Tennessee, under head coach Rick Barnes. I was reading a story about him yesterday, and then just before we came on today, he got a huge five-star guard, Josiah James, committed earlier. But yet last year, his team won a share of the SEC regular season title. His team is ranked in a lot of preseason polls top 10 this season. I think they're pretty consensus to be top 10. I even saw him yesterday at number 4 or 5 in one of the preseason guesses out there. I mentioned earlier today he landed his first five-star prospect, at least at Tennessee, Josiah James, verbally committed there, picking Tennessee over Michigan State, Duke, and others in a bit of a surprise decision, kind of one of those high-drama commitments. A lot of times nowadays, you kind of know who it's going to be. It doesn't often go down to the wire and down to the decision moment, especially when you really have no idea where the kid, the recruit, the prospect is going to go. But a big commitment for Tennessee. They are definitely someone in the SEC. And you got to talk about Vanderbilt as well. I know a lot of Indiana fans don't like to do that, given how close they were with Romeo Langford and a threat throughout his recruitment. But Tennessee, obviously a program on the rise in the SEC, Vanderbilt as well. But always interesting to look out there. And as far as programs on a national level that might have some opportunity to take some major steps forward this year, I think you got to list Tennessee and Rick Barnes as one of those programs. Kind of interesting to think about some of those things with the college basketball season just around the corner. That's the Hoosier headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Buy 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings. Again, you buy 3, you get 3 free. You buy 6, you get 6 free. Either traditional or boneless. Every Wednesday at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, it's a tremendous deal. Always packed in there for lunch and dinner, especially on Wednesdays with terrific boneless and traditional wings. A great deal. Make sure you stop by Hoopster Sports Grill today. A final reminder for you. We're going to talk some high school football in the rest of the week, but I know I hit this early and often. Don't forget Friday night, Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X. 6 o'clock, we have the kickoff show. We'll preview the big games on both sides of the river. We've got some interesting games that we'll have play-by-play crews at this week as far as our feature games go. New Albany at Bloomington North. That's a very evenly matched football game for week 6 of high school football this Friday. That's one of the games we'll be tracking closely. Also, Floyd Central, they play Columbus East. That should be very interesting. Highlanders coming off a win last week. New Albany coming off almost knocking off Columbus East in New Albany last Friday, losing by a point. We'll see if Floyd Central can maybe follow up where New Albany didn't and make it not only competitive, but see if they can find a way to clip or defeat Columbus East. They've won 80 conference games now in a row in the Hoosier Hills Conference. Maybe Floyd can be the first to hand them a loss for the upcoming season. So don't forget, join us Friday night for 5-plus hours of local coverage as far as high school football goes here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Lots of IU basketball, a little bit of IU football with Jeff. We'll also have Brian Evans. Don't forget, I'll play that interview later in the show for you. Former IU basketball standout. He will join us in the second half of the program today. Stay with us for more. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back here on this Wednesday program, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is our guest. Don't forget, in the next segment, we have an interview with former IU basketball standout Brian Evans forthcoming as well. Jeff, I mentioned in our headlines today that Jeff Goodman has Indiana at number 20 in his preseason poll for stadium. I know that we both really respect Jeff's work. I'm curious, Jeff Rabjohns, that covers IU basketball but keeps a very watchful eye on college basketball as a whole, your thoughts on where IU should be at, where they would be at in a Jeff Rabjohns national top 20-25 poll?
I think right now going into the season, and I'm optimistic about where they can get, but preseason I think should be a little more of where you are. It should be one of two things, where you actually think a team is right now, or it should be where you think they're going to be at the end of the year, because it's preseason, it's all about projection. This group of players, regardless of what team it is, has not played a single game yet. So I think you got to go one way or the other. You say, okay, here's where they are to start the season, or here's where I think they're going to finish at the end of the year. And I lean a little more toward, okay, where are you to start the season? I just think that's a little fair way to look at it. I think 20 is a few spots too high right now, because IU is going to be pretty dependent upon newcomers. Now, obviously, some of those newcomers are very talented, specifically Romeo Langford. But newcomers still have newcomer moments, especially guys who are freshmen. And even guys like Evan Fitzner, who is very, very experienced, he's with a new group. I think IU can clearly get to 20. I think they can get a little higher than that even, depending upon some of the 50-50 games early in conference play, how they do on those. But I think this is going to sound like absolute heresy, but because Romeo was so terrific, because he's so well-known, because he is, I would even say, almost beloved at this point, because he was one of those rare players who chased the Holy Grail, Damon Bailey's all-time scoring record. I hear some people talk about, you know, Romeo's going to get us 25 to 28 a game, and it's like, whoa, hang on a second. Eric Gordon was an NBA lottery pick, a top 10 pick. He was a top 5 player in high school who went to IU. He led the Big Ten in scoring, averaged 19 and change. So I think that the expectations of Romeo to be great, not just good, but to be great every night, has reached a level, I don't know if it's fair. Because I think he's going to have freshman moments. I mean, I think, you know him as well as anybody. He has that competitive greatness to steal from John Wooden's pyramid. But freshmen still have freshman moments. They still have freshman lulls at times. So I would say I think IU's closer to 25 to 30 entering the year and has a chance to climb. But I do understand, you know, I was trading texts with Jeff, and I do understand his point about he believes Romeo is one of those rare freshmen who, because he has that competitive greatness, is going to be better a higher percentage of the time than most outstanding freshmen. And he also looks at Archie Miller and he says, okay, Indiana's got one of the best coaches in the country. That counts for a few spots. I totally understand that. I just would go more 25 to 30 than around the 20 range right now.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com here on a Wednesday edition of the program. You know, I wondered that with Romeo's name, and we discussed this some earlier in the week and yesterday, but with his name attached to so many, and rightfully so, attached to so many of the impactful freshman lists that are out there. And, of course, the ball hadn't bounced yet. A jump ball hadn't went up yet. Nothing's happened. It's just all based on projections and what they saw in high school and in the camps and in the shoe circuit, etc. But I wondered how much of the Romeo factor as far as the mystique and the importance to him being added in that 2018 recruiting class, I wondered how much of that maybe carried in with Indiana getting some of the national. Some people don't have him ranked now, as well, but in a poll like Jeff that he has where they are number 20, I wondered how much of it was a Romeo Langford factor, to be quite honest with you.
It's some factor, and I'll say this. I don't think they're ranked. They don't have Romeo because a lot of people look at him and expect him to be one of Indiana's top two players, and I think that's a a reasonable expectation. I also think it's reasonable that because of Juwan Morgan's experience, you know, he may be the leader in scoring at the end of the day, because Romeo can do other things. He can drive to pass. He can be a meaningful defender. So just because, just in case Romeo doesn't end up leading scorer, doesn't mean he didn't have a terrific freshman season. Doesn't mean he's not going to be an NBA lottery pick. But I certainly think that Romeo has an impact on where IU is not only being ranked, but where they're being discussed. Even some of the polls that maybe didn't rank them, you know, talking to different people, they're like, yeah, you know, we discussed them. We liked so-and-so better, but we did discuss them. And I think if you take Romeo off there, I'm not too sure how much they're getting discussed for national rankings entering the season. Even though, you know, locally, I understand why a lot of people are very optimistic about the team, very enthusiastic. You know, they lost a number of key players from a team that didn't even make the NCAA tournament. So nationally, people are looking at him and going, okay, yeah, Juwan Morgan, good player. You know, didn't make the NCAA tournament last year. Kind of looking at the rest of the roster going, well, you know, if they were good, they probably should have played more last year. I understand that. I think there are some improvements that have been made that are being discounted, but I understand why nationally some people take a cursory glance and sort of shrug off a team that is going to have probably at least four or five new faces in the rotation and maybe more going into a season when they didn't make the NCAAs last year.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Our guest, Jeff, is with me Wednesdays talking IU basketball. We may get into some football here in just a few moments as well. A lot of fanfare yesterday about a comment that Juwan Morgan made in an interview, a podcast with Andy Katz. Andy asked him to help complete a sentence. He said, quote, help me complete this sentence. Indiana will make the NCAA tournament if, wanting Juwan to fill in the blank. And Juwan said, quote, There is no if we will, end quote. And that was a very succinct answer, very minimal answer, but Indiana fans, I think, really like that response.
Yeah, and they should like that response. And that's what you get when you talk to a confident guy like Juwan Morgan, who grew up in a military family. There is not wavering with Juwan. I remember last year when we asked him, said, the year before there were some leadership issues. How do you go about making sure there won't be any leadership issues this year? And he looks at the two guys on his left and right, kind of like, don't speak. I got this. He leans into the microphone very slowly and says, there won't be. And then he leans back. He's like, okay. Lieutenant has spoken. But I think, you know, you get confidence with Juwan Morgan. And he's used to growing up in a military household. He's used to when something needs to be done, you go do it. You don't try to do it. You don't plan to do it. You don't hope to do it. You do it. And I've always thought, I thought this going back to when he was, you know, in high school at AAU, you know, I thought that was a real intangible with Juwan Morgan, that when there was a goal set, he wasn't going to try to hit that goal. He assumed that it was a task that needed to be accomplished. And no, you're not going to accomplish every task, but there's a difference between the guys who go, okay, we'll try to do that, coach, and guys who assume when a coach says do something, it's basically an order, go do this. And I think that really helps him. I think that carries over to the team. I think it carried over last year when Deron Davis went down. Certainly, I think Juwan Morgan was, without question, the key player on that team. And Morgan, more than that, I think he's the leader of the team. You know, I mean, when a guy walks into, you know, summer practices, fall open gyms, what have you, and challenges guys in various ways, you know, including who's guarding who and what do you got today and things like that, I think you have a leader. And I think while I understand fans are excited about what Morgan's words would mean for IU basketball come the postseason, the bigger picture is, I think that's a very good glimpse into the makeup of Juwan Morgan, the person.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. We've had so much Juwan Morgan news, and he's been written about so much in the preseason, and this is going to continue all the way up until the start of the season. And the same for Romeo Langford. I mentioned he's been on all these lists as an impact freshman, and a lot of hoopla about him, you know, getting ready to debut for the Hoosiers, and rightfully so. But with that, you mentioned the freshman moments that no matter if you're Romeo Langford or the typical high-level basketball player that plays high major basketball in college coming in as a freshman, there obviously are going to be learning moments. There obviously are going to be freshman moments, as you say. But what a better situation for Romeo coming in with a lot of pressure, coming in with NBA dreams and already being projected for the next draft. He's got Juwan Morgan there as a senior, as a leader, as somebody that tested the draft waters this past year. What an opportunity for Romeo to have a teammate like him, to learn from him all summer, all preseason, and throughout his season at Indiana upcoming, to get ready for maybe both of them to get a professional opportunity after this year.
You're talking about Romeo and Juwan?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Romeo is going to be a first-round NBA draft pick, barring the unforeseen. And I think it's pretty clear he's going to be an NBA lottery pick, barring the unforeseen, and a high lottery pick. NBA teams who do, or the people at NBA franchises who do the extensive background on guys who they're seriously thinking about drafting that year, they've already started that work. I mean, I've already had four NBA teams call and, you know, go through the whole thing with me, and four of them have already sent the full packet that you fill out and everything. So, Romeo is in the NBA at this point in time next year. And barring the unforeseen, what's really interesting as far as his pro potential goes, you know, he's definitely a guy who fits overseas. And if his 3-point shot really improves, he's probably a guy who fits with some of the better leagues overseas. And I always caution people, you know, when you hear the word overseas, it's kind of like saying, well, that guy's going to go be a businessman in America. Okay, well, you know, that might be small business owner. That might mean CEO making, you know, 7 figures plus a year, okay? So overseas basketball is a big bucket. There are lower-level leagues, mid-level leagues, top-level leagues. I tell people overseas pro basketball is almost like college basketball in America. There's all kinds of different levels. But as you get to the higher level, you got guys over there who are making 6 figures. You know, might not be high 6 figures, but they're making 6. And you start to get into, you know, the better leagues in Italy, France, a couple of the, you know, teams around Israel and places like that. You know, there are some Americans who are making 6 figures, and the first number is not a one. Now, Juwan's not to the point he's going to get that right away, but I think he's definitely going to get some international opportunities. And he'll be able to play as long as he's healthy. What's going to be interesting is, can he get to be a pick-and-pop guy, and can he get quick enough laterally to where he gets a real look from the NBA? You know, I think he'll get either a summer league one, he'll get signed as an undrafted free agent, which basically does not cost an NBA team anything in real money. Cost them like 50, 75 grand. Maybe if they really like you, like Yogi Ferrell, they'll give you 100 grand. But those are pennies in an NBA budget. So I think he'll get at least an opportunity to show what he can do. But they do want to see more quickness, especially defensively. Want to see more movement laterally, better movement laterally. You know, if you look at him, sometimes when he turns, when he opens up, those hips can be stiff sometimes. He really has to try everything he can to loosen up those hips. But if he does that, you know, maybe he has a chance to hang on. I think it's going to be tough. Do not expect him to get drafted at this point unless he has, you know, an unreal season, which, you know, those things are possible. Every year there's a player or two who comes kind of out of nowhere, if you will, and ends up getting drafted. You know, Juwan at 6'8", if he has a 3-ball, if he loosens up those hips, adds significant lateral mobility, can guard, you know, multiple positions, you know, he'll have a chance. What I think will really be interesting is if he goes undrafted next year, you know, does he find the right spot and can he have an opportunity to stick in the NBA?
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, starting with basketball today. I've got one more quick basketball question for you, recruiting question, And then I want to get to IU football, your thoughts very quickly on the IU-Michigan State game. Basketball recruiting. I've had a lot of questions recently, especially after yesterday when I mentioned that the IU staff was planning to go watch Caleb First up at Blackhawk Christian in Fort Wayne. He's a member of the 2021 class, which means he'll be a sophomore, or is a sophomore, for this upcoming high school basketball season. His name is right there at the top. I think most people think he is the best college prospect in the 2021 class at this point. And there are a number of players that are emerging as considerable prospects to follow in that class from the state of Indiana. Your thoughts on First and what his game's like? I know it's still very early, obviously, in his development and in his career, but I know that probably no one has watched him and tracked him as closely as you have.
Yeah, I would put him 1-2. He and Christian Lander are 1-2 in that class in-state right now. It's been fun whether you really like the athletic point guard or whether you want the big. But those two guys are 1-2. With Caleb First, he's about 6'9", maybe 6'10". What's really changed for him is he's much more athletic now. He's playing above the rim. He's finishing above the rim. He's blocking shots above the rim. He's got a lot more bounce. He moves so much better. Early on, and obviously we're still only talking about somebody entering his sophomore year of high school, but early on he was very upright, didn't move real well, didn't have a lot of bounce. And now, with his ability to go up, block shots off the backboard, catch the ball high, turn, and dunk it over people, he's a very good big man prospect. Not a sprinter, but he runs just fine for a big man. He's got a pretty solid lower base for a kid just going into his sophomore year of high school. You know, very good work ethic from everything you hear from his AU coaches and high school coaches. Has really good hands. Obviously still learning, like most young guys are, how to actually position yourself to use leverage. Kids who are tall early sometimes just move to a spot, open up their arms like, okay, you know, here's a basket, throw it in, I'll catch it. So, you know, like almost all of them, he's got to learn how to use leverage. But, yeah, I do think he's a really good big man prospect. He's going to get looked at by, you know, I think pretty much everybody in the Midwest who wants to get a big man. And certainly Indiana is very aware and will be involved here moving forward. It was interesting getting a chance to watch him play on Sunday at the Indy Heat tryouts. Here in Indianapolis, there were quite a few kids here. So got a chance to watch him play again in person for a while on Sunday. And definitely the movement, flexibility improvements, those are the things that stand out the most right now. He is skilled. He does rebound well. He's going to be a highly sought-after prospect from the state of Indiana.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. I was going to get your football prediction before we left. Can you give me a score, maybe a quick thought here in about 20 seconds?
I think it's going to be tough for Indiana. Brian Lewerke, the quarterback, I think is going to be a problem. Michigan State has bigger receivers. I think they're going to be a problem. I think this is going to be really, really close. But I think Michigan State comes out on top by a score of something like 24-21 on Saturday in a really tight game at Memorial Stadium.
All right. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Jeff, always enjoy the chat. Thanks for all the great info. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
Sounds good, man. Enjoy Brian Evans. That sounds like fun.
Talk Absolutely. You. Thank you. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com with us. Speaking of that, Brian Evans is next. I had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. He's a member of the 2018 IU Athletics Hall of Fame class. He's been nominated for the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame as well. Lots of exciting moments coming up for him. And I thought it would be neat to catch up with him, catch up with what he's doing now and talk about some of his favorite memories, Coach Knight, Coach Miller, and more. That is coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back and have the great opportunity to hear from one of the former IU great basketball players in the program's history, Brian Evans, a native of Terre Haute, Indiana. He was just recently announced as an incoming member of the 2018 Indiana University Athletics Hall of Fame class. He also recently has been nominated for the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame in Newcastle. Obviously, so many great figures, so many great basketball figures, players, coaches, a high school, college in our state recognized in that as well. And we wanted to catch up with Brian and see what he's been up to and talk to him about some of these recent honors. Brian, first off, thanks for the time to catch up. Tell fans, and I'm curious myself, what are you up to nowadays?
Sure, Matt. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. What are you up to nowadays, Brian? Tell us what you're doing for a career. Where are you located? What are some things going on with you?
Sure. I live on the north side of Indianapolis in Carmel. I have for years and years. And I've been in healthcare business since I retired from playing, which is 2005. So I've been at it 10 or 12 years now. And own a small company called Precision Medical Group that distributes medical devices across the state of Indiana.
Absolutely. I'm sure as a former Indiana player that wherever you go in your day-to-day business, whether it's associated with work or basketball or no telling what else, that you're constantly recognized as a former player. What do you think about that? I know sometimes over the years it probably, when you're trying to do things with family and business, it could probably get maybe a little annoying, but that has to be something that is special about the IU program and the fan base. How much, even years and years after you were there, that you're recognized and people want to talk with you about your memories and what you're up to even today?
Oh, for sure. I mean, and it is nothing but a blessing. The people and the fans have always been great. I grew up a huge fan of the program and of the players and the coaches. And so for me, I never take it for granted that I get recognized by the fans. And, you know, they want to know about, do I ever see or talk to Coach Knight? And do I know the new staff? What do I think of Archie? What do I think of Romeo? I mean, I get all those questions all the time. And I don't get tired of talking about it because I share the same passion. You know, I'm just super lucky that I, you know, in the middle of being a fan for 5 years, I got to live that dream and play there. So I never get tired of it. And I get recognized around town, but, you know, it's great. It's great. The fans have always been great to me.
Brian Evans, former IU basketball standout, joining us today on the Hoosier Report. You got a chance, obviously, not only to play basketball in the state of Indiana at a program where it's beloved, but you also came up in the state playing at Terre Haute South and a good time for high school basketball in that time, in that area. And, of course, high school basketball in the state is still important. When you look back at your career, playing high school ball here, being recruited here, going to college here, you really have all the markings of a true Indiana basketball player from the grassroots level all the way up. Does that resonate with you? And I'm sure you have to hold not only IU, but the high school game in our state in high regard still today.
Oh, my goodness, man. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anybody's career. I mean, it's got to play in front of 40,000 people as a senior in high school at the RCA Hoosier Dome. Played against Damon Bailey every year. They're on our schedule, you know, and looking back, it's remarkable. What a neat time it was for Indiana basketball. And obviously it's changed. It's still fantastic. It's just a little bit different than it was then. And then to go on and, you know, go to Bloomington. Yeah, I feel like my entire career was blessed. And I gotta add that my high school coach was a Hall of Famer, Pat Rady,
yes,
one of the all-time winningest coaches in Indiana high school basketball history, college coach. I don't need to introduce him. You know, Naismith Hall of Famer, Indiana basketball Hall of Famer. You know, in the NBA, I was lucky enough to play for Chuck Daly, Naismith Hall of Famer, John Calipari, Naismith Hall of Famer. So I've been blessed with a group of coaches that, without them, you know, my career probably derailed somewhere, and it could have been early because I was just lucky the whole way through to play for Hall of Fame coaches.
talk a little bit about your professional career. Obviously, after you graduated as a senior in 1996, you would go on to be drafted by the Orlando Magic, and but you played professionally for a number of years. I'm sure you had some great experiences, and you mentioned the coaches alone. That's unbelievable, some of the people that you got the chance to work with on a daily basis. Talk about the professional side of your career. That might be really the most unknown to Indiana fans. I mean, people know you got drafted. They know what you did in the NBA, but you were able to extend that into a nice number of years playing and getting paid to do so.
Yes, you know what? It's, again, I feel very fortunate and have blessed to have played as long as I did, and I stopped playing when my wife and I started a family. Probably could have limped through a number of more seasons. I left the game relatively healthy, which, you know, as you watch on TV and you watch some of these guys keep grinding away, even in football, you see guys, you know, that get hurt and can't play anymore. I know I was fortunate to stop playing when I wanted to, and I don't walk with a limp as of today. So I was fortunate to play a long time, a total of about 10 years. I did three in the NBA, as you mentioned, drafted in Orlando. Went to and loved it there. Had a great time there. The community was great. Organization was great. Like you said, Chuck Daly, a coaching staff that was remarkable, that just coached the Dream Team in 92. That same staff came to our team. So that was neat. Got traded to New Jersey, and in the middle of February of 99, and that was a wake-up call to go from sunny Orlando to dreary New Jersey in the middle of February, but was playing for Calipari, and he had numerous trade scenarios on his desk, and he made it known to me, he chose the one I was in, and he saw a role for me and enjoyed playing for him. He was, you know, I'm sure if he went back to the league now, he'd be a different coach. You know, he was a young guy. I want to say he was 39 or 40 when he took that job. And so I've always told people that ask me about him in Kentucky that if he ever decided to go back to that league, I think he would, he'd do just outstanding. He was, I've really enjoyed watching his career, and he was good to me. So had a good experience there. I spent another half a season with the Minnesota Timberwolves before I was a free agent and accepted I didn't have any guaranteed contracts on the table. A lot of teams wanted me to come to training camp and kind of prove it to them. My agent and I decided on taking a contract over in Europe where, you know, the money's guaranteed, and we really felt like at some point in time in my career, I'm going to go over there. You know, I could be a 8th to 12th man for a long time in the NBA. Some point in time, we felt like I was going to take my show on the road and go overseas. So we looked at it as an opportunity to get me on the court, play a lot of minutes, and establish a market for myself over there. So if and when I needed to go back overseas, I could earn some of the top American dollars available. So I took a contract with the team in Italy. Had a really good season. Enjoyed it. I mean, I fought the culture a little bit. Wasn't in love with being in Europe for probably half the season. You know, it was tough being just solo, you know, overseas for a long period of time. And so I battled it a little bit. And then, but I played well. My focus was on coming back to the NBA. And so I had a great season statistically. And our team had a really good season, better than anyone expected. And so then what happens, I came back to some to NBA summer leagues, and the offers started rolling in from all the countries over in Europe. So got a big offer in Greece and one in Russia and a couple different ones in Italy and Spain. And next thing you know, I've signed a two-year agreement to go back to Italy. The best team in Italy came after me and wanted me, and I signed my life away, went back. And this time I brought my fiancée with me. And, you know, and then I unpacked my bags a little bit differently that second time and tried to get more comfortable, started learning the language, and really, really had a great experience. We were in Siena, Italy, and it was just a wonderful place. The team was great, treated me great. And so I spent a couple years there, did one more year in Italy before finishing. I played two seasons in Tokyo, Japan. Mm. And the draw there was pretty simple. the season was shorter. When we were those 4 years in Europe, it's a 9-10 month season at the minimum. And if you make a deep playoff run, it's a little bit longer than that. And that was just, 4 years of being gone that much was tough on family. And the deal in Japan was about a four and a half month season. And that started sounding attractive. As I was entered my 30s, I said, you know what? Playing for 4 months doesn't sound too bad, and spend the rest of the time back at home. So that's kind of what drove that. We started a family at that point in time, and I decided to hang them up.
Brian Evans, our guest today on the Hoosier Report. Very, very interesting stuff. Brian, I'm going to quickly hit you with a couple questions that I'm sure IU fans, when they recognize you, when they see you out in the community in the Indianapolis area, pepper you with all the time. So when is the last time you spoke with Coach Knight?
Well, my answer is a little more decorated than it would have been, because I'd gone a long stretch without having talked to him live on the phone. He'd come into town, I don't know, whenever he comes in for a speaking engagement, he attempts to reach out and get together with a handful or a couple handfuls of guys. And that had been about a year and a half or so since he'd been in town, and I was able to join him and have lunch. But I actually got a call from him. This past Saturday.
Awesome.
He was congratulating me on the Hall of Fame, so which was pretty special for Coach to reach out. And I was just hanging out with the family on a Saturday, and my phone rings. I look down, it says Bob Knight. And I mean, that one, your heart does skip a couple beats. I admit that. It does skip a couple beats. I've only seen a couple calls from him over the years. One was when my mother passed away,
uh-huh.
And then the next one was this Hall of Fame. So pretty special stuff for him to do that. Pretty cool.
Really, really interesting, Brian. Thanks for sharing that. One other question I know that you get hit with a lot, and all the former players, what is your relationship with Archie Miller? Do you get a chance to watch the team much in their games or make it back to Bloomington often? And what are your thoughts about the new coach that is entering his second year in Bloomington?
Well, I so far so good, Matt. I don't have anything but positive things to say. I haven't had a ton of interaction. And partly because this guy is working his butt off to try to resurrect our program, and he goes 24/7. On the flip side, I've got four kids between ages of 7 and 14, and they're running me around. So I got down to like two or three games. They honored our 1992 Final Four team last season, so I was in town for that. I want to say I caught one other game, and believe me when I tell you, I watched the rest of them from my home TV. If I'm not busy with something, so I mean I'm telling you, I'm as big of a player fan than ever was, and so I mean I watch any time I get a chance, and I love his approach, I love what he's trying to do with regards to recruiting the state of Indiana really hard. He's a coach's coach. I mean and I know he comes from that pedigree of his father being a coach, but you could just you feel it when you talk to him. I love his approach. I know he's working really hard. My interaction with him has been fantastic. You know, he'll reach out. He's been outstanding at reaching out to guys like me and saying, hey, you are welcome here. Anytime you want to come to practice, anytime you want to bring business people into practice that's going to help you in any way, bring them. So the door is wide open. He couldn't be better than he's been. I believe he's going to build a winner in Bloomington. I really do.
Brian Evans, our guest, and Brian, I could probably talk to you for an hour. Just great stuff you're sharing with us today. Final question. I know you have to go. I want to ask you about the Hall of Fame opportunities. Obviously, you're going to be inducted into the IU Athletics Hall of Fame in this calendar year as a member of the 2018 class. You've been nominated for the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. Most say that's just a matter of time, whether it happens this year or beyond. What does it mean to be at the stage of your life, be with your family, your kids, and be able to get some of these phone calls that, hey, Brian, you know, congratulations, you're going in this Hall of Fame, or you've been nominated for this award? What does that mean to you to kind of reflect back on your career and be able to do so with where you're at now in life?
Well, you know what? It hasn't happened yet, other than, you know, I got a call from Fred Glass, our athletic director, about the IU Hall of Fame. And I'm like, it was special. It was pretty cool. you know, so many years in the rear view. And so I've never received that call, you know, until a couple months ago. And it was pretty neat. You know, I was excited to share it with my family. We're going to have a great time in Bloomington. I want to say that's mid-November for the induction ceremony. It's going to be fun. I mean, I'm thrilled for my kids to be old enough to really soak it in and be a part of it. That's cool. And then, you know, I go back to being a huge fan. It's really humbling. I used to walk into Assembly Hall to go to practice, would see the pictures of all the, you've been in there. You know where the Hall of Fame photos are. Mm-hmm. I didn't approach the game thinking I'd be up there. That's for sure. Never did. So it's really cool. I'm excited.
Brian Evans, great chat today. He'll be inducted into the 2018 IU Athletics Hall of Fame class, and I'm sure that there will be more honors down the road. Brian, thanks so much for taking time out to be with us. Just really enjoyed the conversation. I hope we can do it again down the road.
Anytime, Matt. Anytime.
And again, that's Brian Evans. I had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. Lots of good stuff, and he's somebody that will be back with us again on the Hoosier Report. Always fun to catch up with Damon Bailey, Pat Graham, Brian Evans, and other former Hoosiers, and we'll try to do more of that here on the show in the coming weeks and months. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget, you can always podcast us if for some reason you cannot be with us live, you miss a full show, you miss a segment. A couple of easy ways to do so: we're on SoundCloud. They have a free app you can download to your phone, or you can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Also, Apple Podcast. You just search for the Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in our show. Thanks so much for being with us. Be back with you tomorrow on Thursday. Alex Bozich is out, but we'll still talk IU basketball. Jim Shannon, New Albany's basketball coach, he's scheduled to join us as well. We'll talk a little Romeo and hear about the Bulldogs for the upcoming season as well. All coming your way tomorrow, right here on the Hoosier Report. Have a great day. Talk with you tomorrow here on the Big X Sports Radio.